Now, I want to back up because I find yesterday's reading, first reading, very important and very significant. It is from the, if my computer would just cooperate, it's from the Book of Wisdom. And Book of Wisdom is one of those so-called Catholic books. And this is, it was regarded as scripture by the early church, so it's inspired. This is the Book of Wisdom, the first chapter. God did not make death. This fascinates me. God did not make death. Well, who did? We did. Seriously. This is something that we don't realize. First of all, later in the passage we read, by the envy of the devil, death entered the world. What does the devil have to be jealous of in me? Compared to me, the devil is as if omniscient. He's not omniscient, but certainly knows a lot more than I do. And he is, compared to me, as if all-powerful. He's not all-powerful, but he's a lot more powerful than me. The devil is immortal. The devil is a fallen angel. Why would he be jealous of me? Because God has shared with me and with you, with all of humanity, a power that he has not shared with the angels. This is huge. A man and a woman in their coming together can create something immortal. Now, there is a very strange word in Hebrew, bara, that it is used only of God. It's in the very beginning. Bereshis bara Elohim. In the beginning created God. God created, they transpose the word order. In the beginning, God created. That word create, bara, is used only of God. And it's never used of human beings. So God has unique creative power. But Jesus says that when he's talking about marriage, that in heaven we will be like the angels, neither giving nor taking in marriage. Angels don't have children. Angels don't have art in a certain sense. They have music, but they don't have the kind of creativity that we have. We human beings have been given an amazing gift by God. We can create something immortal. What do you mean we can create something immortal? Doesn't God create the soul? Yeah, the soul is immortal. But if the resurrection is true, which is what Christ has promised us, in a certain sense, the body is immortal. This mortal body will be transformed. That a man and a woman in their coming together can create something immortal. That's breathtaking. And the devil hates us for this. If the devil can make a mess of the human giving and creating of life, well, that's a thumb in God's eye, as far as the devil's concerned. So the devil invents sterile marriage, abortion, birth control, the permutations of relationship that are trying to be called marriage in our times. These sterilities are not marriage, because marriage is essentially creative. Now, there are people who cannot have children, but their faithfulness to one another strengthens a society that it might be a fruitful society. So even marriages that by nature are childless, say people are past the time of childbearing who marry, even these are about children. And we're all called to parenthood, be it spiritual and not physical, but physical parenthood should also be spiritual. So the devil hates this, and so the devil hates children. And look at the barbarities inside the church and outside the church that have been directed against children. The abortion, I can go on and on, and I don't want to because I don't want to make happy face, as my producer tells me when we start the show. But this is very important. The devil does not have this power. Also, the devil doesn't have the power of art. Devil don't have the power of art. You know, the devil wants to corrupt art. I remember an old commercial for Paul Masson Wine. Sir John Gielgud was playing a butler in an art exhibition, and he's walking around with a tray of Paul Masson Wine. I don't even make this stuff anymore. But there's the artist standing with a couple of aficionados looking at a slop of paint on a white canvas. And he says, would you believe that? Only took me a half an hour to do. And the butler, Sir John Gielgud, looks and says, yes, I would. These piles of detritus, these twisted pieces of metal that the government and local municipalities pay fortunes for. You got to buy that stuff. It's art. You know, I remember there was a pile of twisted girders painted sort of a mustard yellow underneath a big sign. This was downtown in the Loop. This art donated by Umpty First Amalgamated Bank. And I thought, good Lord, this isn't art. This is industrial waste painted yellow. You know, the devil hates beauty. If he can ruin art and ruin the family, the devil's doing fine. And, you know, to be quite honest, all sorts of churches, you know, modern art, the point of much modern art is to shock. You know, shocking, it's shocking. That's not the purpose of art. The purpose of art is to enlift and uplift and inspire and to draw it into beauty. And there are a whole lot of churches that are, well, quite shocking. They look like spaceships from the planet Ugly. So the devil hates beauty. The devil hates children because those are a kind of creation, a creativity that God has shared with humanity, not with the angels. Now, what's this about God did not make death? We want to blame God for bad things. And we worship the God of the pagans, you see. We're Christians, but we still have this pagan attitude that, you know, purpose of prayer is to get God to do my will. You know, if I really suffer and give a lot of money and light a lot of candles, God will do what I want. I've heard people say the purpose of prayer is not to get God to do what I want, but to get me to do what God wants. Well, that's true. But further, even more, the purpose of prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The purpose of prayer, I believe, is to allow God to do his will. God will not do his perfect will in your life unless you give him permission, real permission. We say it, but we don't mean it. At least I say it, but I don't mean it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I don't mean it. I want my will to be done. You jolly well better do it if you're God. You know, we blame God. God, we worship the humble God who limits himself for our sake. He is all powerful. He is all loving. He is all good. But he limits himself for our sake. What do you mean he limits himself for our sake? Why doesn't he do what I want? Because the most important thing he gives us, the most important thing God gives us is freedom. Why? Because God is love. Huh? Yeah, God is love. If you are not free to love me, if you must love me, if I force you to love me, if, as some theologians say, God's grace is overwhelming, overwhelming grace, there's no freedom. If I force you to love me, that's not love. We have another word for that, and we arrest people for it when you try to force me to love you. God respects our freedom. He says, in effect, okay, you're suffering. You're facing death. Do you still love me? So, well, not if you don't do what I want. Then you never loved him in the first place. You see, he gives us freedom. So who creates death? We do. We choose death over life. You know, the whole birth control thing. Why do people practice birth control? Well, children are a lot of work. And some people like to keep their lovely youthful figures. But really, the big reason is kids are so expensive these days. Who can afford a house if both spouses aren't working? Who has the luxury to be a full-time mother? There's so many things that we need. We need the extra car. We need the net. We need Wi-Fi. We need all these things are expensive. And how do you provide for kids? Well, we prefer things that are dead. I really think there are many people, especially young people, who have a more intimate relationship with their telephones than they do with their families. We prefer dead things to life. We invent death by preferring things to people. Now, admittedly, you got to have things in life. You got to have a roof over your head and food and reasonable things that keep life going. But if you get things for the sake of things, these are dead things. You're choosing death. But when you have things for the sake of life, you know, I want a good education for my kids. I want, you know, well, that's different. You know, I don't want you to get the idea that you have to move to the country, blow up your television, as the old song says. To choose things, dead things, over living, loving persons is to choose death. And in our life, we get to choose between death and life in a small way. Well, you know, I want to leave you with a proverb. No single raindrop thinks it is responsible for the flood. You may think, well, what can I do? The world is going down the oubliette. What can I do? You can do something, something small. Remember what Mother Teresa said, little things done for love are great things. So remember, no single raindrop feels it is responsible for the flood, and yet it is. All right, we are going to go to letters next, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Father Simon Says on Relevant Radio, and it's nice to spend this time with you.